Now you've got to listen to me for a few minutes. No doubt you have your Christmas memories that even as you think of them fill you with a sense of joy. You remember the hope that filled your heart as each Christmas time came around. I was thinking about this the other day and it struck me that my memory, particularly as a child, is that of the Christmas box. Every year, a Christmas box came. It always arrived, not in time for Christmas, though it was in time for Christmas, but for St. Nicholas Day. You see, I'm Dutch, and the 6th of December is a key day for us. So the box would arrive, but we had to wait. At least a week usually, sometimes a little bit more. And I was one of four boys, and we would look at this box positioned where we would see it, but with the knowledge that we were not to open it. And we would wonder about its contents. And we would rely on what we discovered the previous year to help us feed our imaginations and to whet our appetites for this year. We knew that there would be chocolates. Indeed, there would be a chocolate for each of us in the shape of the leading letter of our first name. There would also be other little biscuits, marzipan sweets, and other little things, and perhaps some little trinket, all lovingly selected and packed by family overseas. It's a box of remembrance that spoke to us of the love of a distant family. But it was also a box of hope. It stirred hope. It fed our anticipation. We knew it was going to be good. We anticipated that it would be amazing. But we had to wait. And for four boys, each of us found that hard going. We had to wait. Each day brought us closer, but we had to wait. And then finally, on St. Nicholas Eve, Dad would bring out the box. He would open it carefully, and he would bring out item after item and lay them down. And then they would be divided up appropriately to each of us. It was a wondrous box. It filled us with joy, with thankfulness. It reminded us of family who loved us on the other side of the world. We knew their name, but when we left them, I was only 2 years old. So I didn't really know them. We had heard tapes of their speaking, seen little black and white photographs of them. But what we knew about them was taught to us by this Christmas box. They remembered us. They cared for us. They loved us. They sought in some way to show that love for us. So yes, it was always about waiting, but it was also about remembering love shown. Just like the first Christmas, it involved waiting, a waiting that was shaped and enabled by hope. Hope grounded, as we've seen in our readings, that even in the Old Testament, God made promises that he would send a deliverer, a saviour. He would send the one who would bring peace and purity. It's to that same word, the Bible, that we turn as we live in the light of the one who came, Jesus. We see this so clearly in the believing hope and of an old man that first Christmas. An old priest. We didn't read his story, but if you read on in Luke chapter 2, you will find his story there as well. You will read that year after year he had waited. He had looked and looked, hoped and hoped. He longed for the coming of the one whom God had promised. And there were many promises given to the people over the years. And he and many others waited, looked, longed for the coming one who was God's gift to humanity. His name was Simeon. And one day he was in the temple when a young family came in. Two young people with a new baby, a recently born baby boy. And suddenly it was as if his heart was about to burst. God in that moment caused him to realize who this child was. That he was indeed the one that he had been hoping to see. How hope had filled old Simeon that first Christmas as he held the baby. For in one sense, his hope was fulfilled. But he began to talk and declare to the parents the enlarged hope that he had now that he had seen and held this baby boy. He didn't know how, but he knew that this one was God's gift to bring peace with God into the world. Listen to him as he takes hold of that baby boy. Listen to him as he looks at the parents and speaks about this boy. Listen to him as he speaks over the centuries to you and I today as well. He's talking to the Lord, but he's talking to us as well. It's a privilege to eavesdrop his prayer and to see his hope. He said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Do you see his hope? It's a hope, this Christmas hope, that was built on a solid foundation of promises of God that were fulfilled, that fed promises of fulfillments yet to come. The promises of a God who could not lie, who would not lead astray. A hope he longed to see realized before he died, but now a hope that was increased as he began to think about what this child will accomplish. As his mind reached across the nations and across time into the future and thought of people yet to hear, yet to meet this child. That what this child, as he grew up, would accomplish would be important for them, for us as well. Every day he'd been in the temple praying for the opening up of this hope, of the true hope of peace with God. And now he looked at this child, this small, precious parcel sent from far beyond earth, with love from one whose name and fame we have heard but we cannot see. And he declared, "My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." Now he could die in peace, knowing that through this child, God would bring about a true peace between God and people by the sacrifice he would provide, which he did upon the cross. His death on the cross offered forgiveness of sins, a fresh start with God and with each other. His forgiveness ends all accusation and silences condemnation, bringing peace between God and people. His grace to the undeserved removes insecurity, offering the assurance of a secure future with God. And when this gift is revealed, it takes materialism out of Christmas and puts back the gift that brings gratitude. That's the gift that began to be opened that first Christmas. That is Jesus, who is the salvation of the Lord. Rick Lewis, the Anglican Bishop of Armidale, wrote this during the week. "Christmas tells how God the Father is committed to freeing us from the dark things that rule over us. It tells us how God desires to place us with Jesus, who pays the cost of our forgiveness. These are gifts we don't deserve, but God desires us to have. The mystery of Christmas is that God became man. The joy of Christmas is that he brings peace with God through dying on the cross for our sin. The hope of Christmas is that any and all who believe in him may know that peace, and that he lives to bless and keep them every day. This is a precious, a powerful, and a permanent hope. May you know the peace and joy of that hope this Christmas, finding it where it can only be found, in Jesus. May you know that same blessing of Simeon that fills this day with joy and peace and overflows in our heart and life until we are welcomed by him as he brings us to his Father. Let's sing together once more, this time singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room."